All right, Wake, what's going on? My name is Ryan Fitch. If we haven't had the chance to meet, I'm currently a resident here in the Watermark Institute, and specifically, I get to serve on the Wake team, and typically, you can find me in the Snack Shack every Sunday, so I would love to give y'all the same invitation that Parker Robb gave y'all last week, is that if we haven't had the chance to meet, I would love to meet you, and you can typically find me in that Snack Shack every Sunday, or by the ping pong tables with my boys in the Richardson small group. Come on, there they are. Shout out. But anyway, I would love to meet you guys. And I kind of want to share just like a little funny story just because y'all don't really have the opportunity to get to know me. I know this is my second time to teach at Wake, and normally it's Luke or Parker or Jonathan that gets to teach. But I want to share a little something that I really love, and that's burgers. And me and my best friend, yeah, come on. We love a good burger and fry. So my best friend Parker from college, me and him have been doing a burger tour all throughout Dallas. And this past weekend, we actually visited a Lake Highlands burger joint known as Shady's. And honestly, I'll give it to y'all. Shady's pretty good. Their fries, amazing. But I will say, Burger House is king in Dallas. Like, so shout out Highland Park. Burger House is king. But anyways, I just wanted to share that, just a little get to know me. If you want to talk what you think the best burger in Dallas is, there's our first topic of convo. But I also get the joy this morning to break down Philippians 4. I get to close our message and our sermon series through Philippians. And throughout the series, you should have learned multiple different things through small group, through the curriculum we've been reading through each week, and also here on Sunday mornings. And some of those themes would be, man, we know how to stand firm in our faith. We know how to count others more significant than ourselves because we got to see in Philippians 2 Christ's humble example as a servant on our behalf. That he died as a criminal on the cross so that we can have life and have it abundantly. And then also you got to see last week when Parker taught, and hopefully through your reading of Philippians 3, that we have righteousness by faith in Christ. Christ has deemed us righteous. And today, like, I just pray that today, as we finish Philippians, you've seen throughout it all that it is truly a joy to follow and delight in Christ, to know him and to walk intimately with him. That is my prayer, that you know this throughout all Philippians. And so today we're going to be in Philippians 4, and we're going to learn that we can rejoice in the Lord in all things, in all situations, in all seasons, because he's a God that cares for us, and he's a God that supplies our every need. And we're going to see that in three ways today. And the first way is going to be that we can rejoice in God because he hears our requests. And then the second one is that we can rejoice in God because he guards your heart and your mind. And the third point we're going to see today is that we can rejoice in God because he supplies your every need. And so here's the question I want to pose to you before we jump in. And that question would be, so what does this mean to me? Like, Ryan, like, what, I'm in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I'm in middle school. What does Philippians 4, how does that make a difference in my life? And what I would say to that is that it's a really simple answer. It's that through Paul's encouragement to the church of Philippi, what he tells them is still applicable to our lives today, and it honestly should change the attitudes of our heart, specifically the attitude of our heart towards the God that we serve. And it should make us grateful today because we're going to see that we serve a God who cares deeply for us. And when you see how deeply God cares for you, it should lead us to rejoice in him and be grateful for who he is. But however, before we actually hop into the text of Philippians 4, I want to share a little story about me from this time last year. So if you don't know, I graduated from Dallas Baptist University last May. But this time last year, I was a senior. And I was getting ready to graduate. It's like at the end of this semester, I got to graduate. And that means I got to move out of my house. I got to probably make new friends wherever I go. I may move to a new city. I'm going to have a new job. And all these different things just started to play into my thought life and into my spiritual life because I was just worried. I was like, God, like what is next for me? Like, I'm going to graduate on May 13th. And then what? Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to be? Where's, like, money going to come from? Where am I going to live? Who's going to be my friends? And there's all this stuff that just started just boiling up in my soul that was just, man, I am fearful and I am anxious. And it really affected me. It affected my friendships. It affected my relationship with the Lord. If you would go back and read my journal, I think every single day I would just say, Lord, what do you have for me? What's next? I'm scared of what's next because it's unknown. And so I let these thoughts and these doubts and this anxiety and fear just take up my thought life. And it made me start to doubt God. And maybe he's not truly for me. Maybe, like, I don't know what's next. Like, what's going on? And so the newness of what was coming after graduation and the fear of that unknown created, like I said, the anxiety and fear within me. And the reason I share that with you today is because what we're going to see in Philippians 4, I needed to hear that truth this time last year. I needed to hear that God hears my requests, that he's going to guard my heart and my mind, and that he's going to supply my every need even after graduation, even though I can't see what it is. It's uncharted waters. And so I'm happy to jump into this text today and see how it applies to you, because as a middle schooler, there's a lot of unknowns. Like you're moving to a new grade next year, new sports teams, new friends. A lot of change is happening in your life. And so this is applicable to you today. And so, Father, we come before you this morning just asking you, Lord, would you change the attitude of our hearts to be grateful for who you are? Lord, to be thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross for us, so that through faith in him, we're made righteous and we're given eternal and abundant life. So, Father, I pray as I open Philippians 4, as we hear your word, Lord, I pray that anything I say that is not of you, Lord, may it go void. But, Lord, would you open the minds and the hearts of everyone in this room for what you have for them, Lord? Would you speak to us today? Would you encourage us? Would you build us up? And would you convict us? And Lord, who am I that I get to stand up here and I get to teach your word? But I pray that they don't see Ryan Fitch, but Lord, may they see you. May they see Christ today. So we're thankful and we love you. And it's all in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so let's hop in. First verse of Philippians, come on. So as we get in the first verse, Philippians 4, we're going to kind of go a little bit fast through some of this chapter, but then we're going to kind of camp out in some specific sections, all right? Do y'all get that? All right, good. No one's listening. Do y'all get that? Yeah. Here we go. All right, here we go. First verse, Philippians 4. As you see, Paul starts to close out this letter. So he's already been, you know, we've been through three chapters. Paul's like, all right, time to finish my letter. So he begins with that, therefore. And essentially, I'm going to sum up what he's saying. And what he's saying is like, hey, therefore, because of everything you just learned, how to stand firm in your faith, Christ's humble example, how we have righteousness through faith, therefore, because everything I just taught you, hold fast to it. Never forget it. Always believe it. Always know the joy of following Christ. And he starts to address some specific people, and these specific people, I mean, you can get into it some other time, but specifically it's two women, it's Euodia and Syntyche, and they apparently have some conflict that we don't really know about, but Paul is asking them to resolve it, because that's what we do as Christians, we reconcile conflict. And then we keep moving on, we get specifically the verses 4 and 6, and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And what's very important about this verse is that the first word's rejoice and the last word is rejoice. And what that's known as, it's known as a bookend. And typically, like in scripture, when that happens, that's a big deal. Because Paul is really pointing us to, like, that word means a lot. I started the sentence with it and I ended the sentence with it. So pay attention to it. And what he's really saying is that rejoice in the Lord. And this is the climax of Philippians 4. Climax of the whole book of Philippians is to rejoice in the Lord. And what is rejoicing? Rejoicing is taking joy in the Lord. It's to delight in the Lord. And so he's encouraging us to do that because of everything we've already read in this letter. So how do we do this? Let's go to verse 5. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, because the Lord is at hand." A better translation for reasonableness, I think, would be gentleness. And some of your Bibles may say gentleness. And that's really Paul's calling us to have a gentle spirit. Because as a Christian, we should never be rude. We should never be harsh towards anyone. Actually, one of our vision statement here at Watermark Community Church is to be transformed by Christ, to love like Christ. And essentially, Paul's telling us that second part right there. He's like, hey, let your gentleness be known to everyone. Love everyone like Christ would love them. We are to be like Christ. And then that's the second half is that the Lord is at hand, and that could be a little confusing, but what he's really saying is like, the Lord is at hand. He's coming back, guys. Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when, but he's coming. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to tell people? Are you going to live out this gentle spirit? Are you going to tell people about the joy that you've seen? Are you rejoicing in the Lord to follow Christ? So he's coming back. So we need to tell as many people about the joy that we have in him. Then we move on to verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So as we see it, do not be anxious about anything. That's kind of hard to believe, honestly. As I read that, I'm like, don't be anxious about anything. Paul is telling us that we are not to be anxious. Oh, you have anxiety? No, you're not supposed to. And that's like hard for me to see. I'm like, I think about last year. It's like I had anxiety. I was following Jesus. And yeah, I had anxiety. And Paul's saying, don't be anxious about anything. And it's that simple, is that we don't have to be anxious because the God we serve cares for us so much that second part of the verse says, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Paul is saying, hey, take that anxiety that you feel, those thoughts, and just tell the Lord. Tell God, because he cares and he wants to hear from you. So in everything, let those requests be made known. And so I really want to break down what is the anything in this verse and then what is the everything. And it's really simple. The anything could be such as like, man, Lord, I'm like really nervous about what I made on this test last week or what grade I'm going to make on the report card. Am I going to pass this class? Am I going to fail? My relationship with my siblings not too well. My relationship with my parents is not going really well. And these are all just examples you may be feeling. Maybe it's, and who's going to get that starting spot on the team? What do my friends think of me? Am I cool? Am I popular? Am I normal? It's all these anxieties, but that's the anything. No matter what it is. And then the everything is exactly what we just said the anything is. That we're to take anything that's making us anxious and take it all to Jesus. Take it all to the Lord and let him know. That any anxious thought, he wants to hear from you. And actually, it creates in us a specific peace that he gives to us. But that first point that we see in this verse is that we are to rejoice because God hears our requests. He's going to listen to us. God hears you. He heard mine last year, and he still hears them today. But there's one thing I didn't understand last year is that I was coming to God with an ungrateful heart. I was like, hey, God, like I know I graduate. What am I going to do? Like, would you just tell me what I'm going to do, where I'm going to live, who I'm going to be friends with, how much money I'm going to make? And I was just not thankful. I didn't care for who God was and who he is. I was like, I know he's listening, but I'm not grateful for that. I just want him to tell me what to do. And so Paul is saying, with thanksgiving, let your request be known. So if you come to God first thankful for who he is and what he's done, primarily in the work of his son, Jesus Christ, that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that should make you eternally grateful. When you come with that mindset, then you're going to have some peace about whatever you go through. And we know that because we get to verse 7 and Paul literally says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received, and what you've heard and what you've seen in me, as Paul saying, like what you've read in this letter and what you've seen me live out in my life, you should imitate. Practice these things. and the God of peace will be with you. Again, we kind of see a bookend right there. The beginning of verse 7 is talking about the peace of God, and the end of verse 9 we see it's talking about the God of peace. So if we let God hear our requests and rejoice that he hears our requests, he's gonna guard our hearts and our minds. And we know Romans 5:1 says that therefore, since we have been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That should give you an overwhelming sense of peace, because we already have peace from God in Christ. And then we get more peace by just letting God know all of my sorrows, everything I'm struggling with. And that should really comfort you, even in trial, even in sorrow. And this peace goes beyond anything that you can even fathom, anything you can even comprehend. Because he says, this is a peace that surpasses all understanding. We don't even understand the peace of God. That he can calm us down in any situation. And he calms us in a way that only he can. He gives us a peace that only he can provide. This peace doesn't come from having all the money in the world. It doesn't come from having all the popularity in the world, being the best athlete at your school. Like, great, that may provide some peace in your heart. But this peace is different because it's from God. And it is more than you can imagine. And because of this peace, he guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean, that he guards our heart? Well, it means that God's going to keep something that should not happen from happening in your mind and in your heart. And first, let's kind of explain, like, what does he mean? Like, when he's saying he's guarding our mind and our heart? Well, first of all, think of your mind. When you think of your mind, you have thoughts, ideas, all these things. So that's your mind. So think of mind as thoughts and ideas. Then when you think of your heart, think of feelings and emotions. And so what he's saying here is that the peace is going to take over our minds. And God's going to protect us from anything that's going to happen that should not happen, that is of the enemy, that is not of God. God's going to protect us from that. And the same thing in our hearts. So, like, it's easy for me to say, if I look back last year, it was so easy for me in my mind to start having these doubts, start having the fears and the anxious thoughts. But what that would do is that would cause my heart to start acting out emotionally. Man, I was sad. I was angry. I was apathetic. And so this is what he's talking about in our mind and our hearts. And I kind of want to define, like, there is like a Christian cliche that comes with this. Like, this is talking about God guarding our hearts. But then you probably hear sometimes, like, hey, like, you need to guard your heart. And so, like, kind of to break that down, like, Proverbs 4:23 says that out of our heart flows a wellspring of life. Out of our heart determines the course of our life. And so what he's really saying is if we guard our hearts, we're like abstaining from, hey, that's sin. Like, I'm going to guard my heart and not go anywhere near that. Like, I'm going to make sure I'm good. But here we see that God's like, no, you come to me and I'm going to make sure that you're good, right? Like, so I know my heart prone to wonder. I'm prone to struggle. But God said, I can help you. And like, I will guard you. But you just need to come to me. Let me hear your request. Rejoice that I will do this for you, because you can't do it on your own. So when we gratefully come to God with our requests, he promises us that he will guard our hearts and our mind and protect us. And we need to practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. There's another promise verse 9. He will be with us. And as we continue verse 10, Paul's rejoicing because the Philippian church was concerned with his imprisonment. And then we get to verse 11 through 13, and Paul says, verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, I know how to abound, and in every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. I've learned the secret of facing abundance and need. And then verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So as we look at this verse, not that I'm speaking of being in need, Paul is saying that he's not in need. But we got to remember, he's writing this letter. He's in prison. If I was in prison, I'd be like, man, I'm in need. I want to be free. Like, I have so many needs. And Paul's saying, I'm not even in need, because I've learned that whatever situation I'm in, I am to be content. And if you may not know, like, really what contentment means. What that actually means, it's a state of being peacefully satisfied. That we are, when I'm content, I am satisfied and I'm at peace with whatever's going on in my life, whether it's difficult or whether it's easy. This is what Paul is saying. Whether it's abundance, whether I have everything I ever want, or whether I lack everything, I don't have everything I want. He's saying, I'm content, I'm satisfied, and I'm at peace because I know who I serve. And as he's saying this, he's setting us up for verse 13, which I really want to point out. Verse 13 is one of the most taken out of context and misinterpreted verses in probably the entire Bible. I would be willing to argue that. You'll see it on coffee mugs. You'll see it at Hobby Lobby on some sign. You'll walk into a house and you'll see it. You'll see an athlete maybe have it. Be like, man, I can do all things through Christ. It's in their little Instagram bio. Like, and a lot of people take this out of context. And the way they take it out of context is because they say, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, I can do all things. I'm going to go out and get that job I want. I'm going to get that starting position. I'm going to become the coolest guy at school. I'm going to be the most popular girl. I'm going to do that because Christ said he's going to strengthen me to do what I want. And that's where we really get it misinterpreted, because that's not what Paul's doing. If Paul could truly do everything he wanted because Christ strengthens him, I don't think he'd be in prison writing this letter, right? He wouldn't be in prison. He'd probably be free. So what he's saying is that no matter what he goes through, whether it's a difficult situation, whether life's hard, or whether life is easy, I'm comfortable. This is awesome. He's like, whatever it is, I'm going to be content. I'm going to be satisfied because Christ is who strengthens me. He is where my joy is found. I rejoice in him alone because I'm satisfied in him alone. And so we see that this verse, Philippians 4:13, is a verse not about doing, but it's a verse about being. And it's being content, being satisfied in Christ. And we move on, we see that Paul is actually setting us up for verse 19. And before we get to verse 19, between 13 and 19, he's kind of just encouraging the Philippian church. He's like, hey, thank y'all for the gifts, yada, yada, yada. And then we get to 19, which is what Paul has really been setting us up for. And in verse 19, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is saying, or Paul is saying, that God will supply all of our needs. And these aren't our worldly needs. These are our eternal needs in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, everything you ever needed is satisfied. You can have a relationship with the creator of the universe through him. And so Paul has been setting us up because he gave us his personal example for how he is to be content and how God has provided for his needs. And now he tells us that God will do the same with us. This promise is not only to Paul. Paul is not the only one that's experienced it, but we can experience it. And we can enter into this promise. And that's point three, is that we rejoice because God has supplied our every need, and he continues to supply our every need. So we can rejoice in this. But one thing I do want to point out too is this need. What is our every need? We need to define our needs. So there's a difference between needs and there's a difference between wants. Our needs, as we've seen through Philippians 4, as Paul has told us, our need is to be content in Christ, to be satisfied with Christ, and also to glorify Christ. As you see in that, like, to God our Father be glory forever. He supplies every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ. So don't confuse your worldly wants with your internal needs, because God's saying, I'm going to give you eternal needs. And what you want is not always what you need, but God's going to give you exactly what you need. Someone would say, there's a famous quote that says, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. And so as we see, Paul has called us. He's calling us all throughout Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. See the joy and the delight that comes with following Christ and letting that be your satisfaction, my bad. And what you see is that that quote's true. God will be glorified by you and in your life when you are content and most satisfied in him. When you know that he hears your requests and he guards your hearts and minds and he's going to supply every need. And that's something to rejoice in, friends. And so last year, kind of circling back to that story I shared, I mean, obviously I've graduated and I went and worked at Pine Cove summer camps and then ended up here at the Watermark Institute, where actually ended up here on this stage specifically today talking to you. And one thing I would say as I look back on that past year is that I can confidently say that God did supply my every need. He supplied it all. And I did not see it this time last year when I was doubtful and anxious. And the problem was, as I've realized and honestly was convicted through actually preparing this talk, was that I was so focused on me. All my requests were me. God, tell me what I'm going to do after this. Tell me how much money I'm going to make. Tell me who my friends are going to be. Tell me what I'm going to do. Tell me where I'm going to live. So inward focused that I forgot to be outward focused. Outward focused in one, loving others, but primarily and ultimately, I was not outward focused in being thankful and grateful for who God is. It should have been like, God, thank you so much for the opportunity to go to college and be able to graduate. Thank you so much that I get the opportunity to look for a job. Lord, would you just guide me in that? Thank you. Like, you're going to supply for me. I believe in your promises. So that's what happened. I was self-centered and I forgot about God. So I didn't have a grateful heart to be content with him in that season. I didn't believe his promises were true. And I eventually did realize God did hear those requests. And I'm thankful to be here today. And God did actually guard my heart and my mind in the decisions I made to end up on this stage today, to be able to teach you and open God's word with you. And so don't get confused with being so inward focused as you let your requests be made known to him. Be outward focused. And the way we do that is to simply be content in him, be satisfied, and be grateful for who God is. I had the wrong attitude and wasn't grateful. And what I've seen from that is that when we come to God grateful, when I'm grateful to make my request known, then that leads to a life of faithfulness. And so this is a one-liner that I would want y'all to remember today would be that gratefulness is the attitude that leads to faithfulness. So be thankful for who God is. Let him know your request with thanksgiving, and that will lead you to a life of faithfulness. And faithfulness can easily be defined as what we have seen in Philippians. Faithfulness is delighting in Christ and Christ alone. It is being most satisfied in him, and because of that, we're going to most glorify him. So friends, are you satisfied in Jesus? Are you satisfied and content in him? Do you rejoice in God for who he is? Because he deeply cares for you. And that should change the attitude of your heart today. So Father, I thank you so much for this morning that we get to open up Philippians 4, Lord, and just learn how much you care for us, Lord, that you want to hear our requests with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that we're grateful for who you are, Lord, that we see the joy it is in knowing and following and walking with you, having a relationship with you, Lord. May we delight in it and be satisfied in you alone. Lord, the world claims and promises to satisfy us, but only you can eternally satisfy us, Lord. You have put eternity in our hearts, and only you can fill it. So, Father, I pray that you will guard our hearts and our minds as we leave wake, as we go out to live a grateful life, a faithful life, Lord, knowing that you will supply our every need. So, Father, we are thankful. So, Lord, will you change the attitudes of our hearts just to be thankful, just to praise you for who you are and how much you care for us and how much you love us. Lord, and that we see that in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, it's in his name that we pray. Amen.